song. I'm looking forward to what the Lord has for us this evening. I'm thankful for the opportunity to preach. If you have God's word with you, I'd like for you to take it and open it with me to Matthew chapter number 6. Matthew chapter number 6. And we'll begin reading in just a moment in verse number 5. And I'm grateful for all that the Lord has done this summer and how we've seen him work. I'm thankful for what he has accomplished. And it's an amazing thing. It's a work that he is doing. And I'm thankful that we get to have a small part in it. It's a wonderful thing that the God of the universe would see fit to call us into his service, is it not? It's an amazing thing. And this summer, we have been blessed to see dozens of churches coming through and spending weeks at our camp. And we've seen so many dozens of young people surrender their lives to the Lord, and hundreds of campers have come through. We're thankful especially for 19 young people who trusted Christ as their personal Savior. It's an amazing thing. The Bible says that all of heaven rejoices over just one sinner that repents. And it's not a small thing that 19 young people have trusted Christ as their Savior. Can you imagine the celebration in heaven for 19 souls, souls for which Christ died? It's an amazing thing. I believe we had 103 young people dedicate their life to Christ, say, "Lord, whatever you want for my life, that's what I want." And then we had 15 young people who surrendered to God's call to the ministry in whatever capacity that may be. These are amazing things, and we're excited about what the Lord has done, and what will be amazing in days to come and years to come is the lasting impact that comes from things that God's done at camp this summer. And so there's more in store, and God is continuing on, and he's doing a work even now in the hearts of these young people as they've headed back to their homes and to their churches, to their families. And so it's an amazing thing that God has allowed us to be a part of this summer, and I'm thankful for Pastor's emphasis and his vision and his willingness to take on this endeavor. And I'm thankful for you all, a church family who makes it possible. It's no small thing. And I'm thankful for your prayers and for your support and for your involvement. It's an amazing thing, and it's worth doing more of. Amen? We need to stay involved in it and keep going. And so we're thankful for how the Lord's using us. If you have your Bibles, we're looking in Matthew chapter number 6. We'll begin reading in verse number 5 here in just a moment. We'll come to what is commonly known as the Lord's Prayer or the model prayer. And this evening, for the next few moments, we'll just examine this simple prayer and kind of line it up next to our Christian lives. And we'll see some points of emphasis that have been made in this model prayer. And we'll see some points of emphasis then that need to be made in our Christian lives. And so with God's help, that's what we'll do this evening. Look with me in Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 5. The Bible says this. Jesus is speaking. He says, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be ye not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye: Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." It's an amazing thing that Jesus presents to us. When you come to Matthew chapter 6, you're smack dab in the middle of what we know to be the Sermon on the Mount, the greatest sermon that was ever preached on planet Earth. And Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, in his day, is going completely against the grain of what was commonplace in the Jews' religion. And the Jews' religion was very much placing the emphasis on that which was on the outward appearance and that which was seen of men. But Jesus goes straight to the heart of the matter. And he begins in Matthew chapter number 5 with what we know as the Beatitudes, the attitudes of the heart toward God. And then he begins to deal with private matters like giving of alms and prayers and fastings. And what he does is he takes the Jews' religion and that which was common in the culture in that day and completely turns it on its head. And he says, we're going to take care of the heart first. And here's the thing about it. Christ is much more interested in doing a work in you that he may then do a work through you. It's been said that God can never do a work through you until he has done a work to you. And I wonder, has Christ done a work to you in your heart? And he comes to this matter of prayer, and he gives us some instruction about prayer and our communion with God, and then he presents to us this model prayer. And it is not necessarily something that's intended to be recited over and over again, but rather there are certain elements and components given in this prayer and certain points of emphasis that are given in this prayer that ought to make up our prayer life, that ought to be found consistently in our communion with God and in our Christian life. And for the next few minutes, I'd just like to point those things out to you very quickly. I want you to notice, first of all, that this prayer is a prayer of acknowledgement. This prayer is a prayer of acknowledgement. In verse number 9, Jesus begins and he says, after this manner, therefore, pray ye. And he says, our Father. He says, first and foremost, acknowledge God as your Father. Isn't that an amazing thought? That the God of the heaven and God, the creator of planet Earth, is not just some far off and distant being, but he has made himself our Father. He has brought us into his family. He's adopted us and we belong to him. Is that something we should be taking lightly? We belong to the God of the universe. He's our heavenly Father. He says, our Father, which art in heaven. He's our Father. We acknowledge him such. And then Jesus says, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name. That means your name is holy. It is set apart. It's much greater than my name. You are on a different level than I am. And though God is our dear Father, he is the great God of heaven and earth. And he's on a different level than we are. Amen? He is wonderful. He is hallowed. Acknowledge him as such, Jesus says. And then in verse number 10, Jesus says, thy kingdom. Thy kingdom come. Let me ask you this. Who's in charge of a kingdom? Who is it? It's a king. And Jesus is saying, when you talk to your heavenly Father, acknowledge him as such. Hallow his name, but then acknowledge him as king. And isn't that an amazing thing? That we serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Jesus says, acknowledge him as such. May I ask you a question? Is your heavenly Father, is he the king of your life? Is he the king of your life? Acknowledge him as king. It's an amazing thing. We've been studying in the Sunday School Hour about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we were teaching the 7th and 8th grade boys this morning. And those guys have got it down. They are just doing really well with these Bible lessons. And we're asking them questions to review. And they know the answers. And it's an exciting thing to think about. They're really interested in it. And we came to Revelation chapters 19 and 20. And we read about how there's going to come a day when Jesus himself is going to return to this earth on a white horse, wearing a vesture dipped in blood, and there's going to be a name written on his thigh. It is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. The thing about it, on this earth, a king has no authority outside of his kingdom. But my king is King of Kings, and he is Lord of Lords. And Jesus says, when you pray to your Father, say, thy kingdom come. Acknowledge him as king. He continues on in verse number 10. He says, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Thy will be done. Seek to do his will. He says, acknowledge him then as master. Is our heavenly Father, is he your master? Thy will be done. Then in verse number 11, Jesus continues on, give us this day our daily bread. Acknowledge him as our provider. Amen. How often do we worry? In such a silly way. We just worry about this and we worry about that. Later on in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is going to address this in chapter 6. In verse number 25, Jesus speaks and he says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Jesus says, wait just a second, and look at the little sparrows. They don't work, and they don't plant a garden so that they can reap a harvest to feed themselves and care for their families.
God has made it his obligation to take care of them. And he says, if God has made it his obligation to take care of the little sparrows, aren't you much better than they are? He's our provider. He continues on. And he says in verse number 27, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And Jesus is making it very evidently clear that our heavenly Father has obligated himself to take care of us. Isn't that a wonderful thing? When you pray, acknowledge God. This is a prayer of acknowledgement. And in verse number 11, we see that we acknowledge God as our provider. We are confident that he's going to provide our every need. In verse number 12, Jesus says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive us our debtors. Here we are acknowledging God as our Redeemer who buys us back and clears our debts. He gives us a brand new start. He's our Redeemer. He gives us a brand new clean slate. And then the Bible says in verse number 13, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And here in verse number 13, we acknowledge God as our deliverer. And from ages past, God has always been his people's deliverer. Do you remember way back in the Old Testament, the nation of Israel, the Hebrew people, were held captive by the Egyptians, and God made himself their deliverer. God has always been his people's deliverer. And in our day, he delivers us from temptation. He delivers us from evil. And then the prayer is concluded by this statement here, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The power belongs to God. This acknowledges God as the Almighty One. The Almighty One. And the glory is given to God. This acknowledges him as the worthy one. Can I tell you, Christ alone is worthy. Our God is worthy. And that is why we serve him. That is why we love him, because he's a great God. And so this is a prayer of acknowledgement. This is a prayer of acknowledgement. Secondly, I want you to notice very quickly, this is a prayer of authority. This is a prayer of authority, which ascribes authority to God and God alone. In verse number 13, we say, thine is the kingdom and the power. God is a God who wields infinite authority. And it's an amazing thing to think about that a great God as ours would call little people into his service. Can I tell you something plainly? If you think that there is a greater cause for which a man could join his life to, you are out of your mind. That God would allow us to be called his children, to be a part of his family, that God would call us into his service, that God would allow us to make a difference in this world. It's an amazing thing that God would give us this great opportunity. He's a God of authority. And because he is our authority, that which he tells us, we must do. And where he sends us, we will go. And what he bids us, we will do. He is our great God. The kingdom belongs to him, and the power belongs to him. There's a third thing really quickly that I'd like to point out to you. Not only is this a prayer of acknowledgement and a prayer of authority, this is a prayer of advancing. In verse number 10, the Bible says this, thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. The reason the Jews had such a problem with Jesus was because they were looking for a Messiah who would come and throw off the heavy hand of Rome in their day. And when Jesus came, he did not come to throw off Rome. But rather, he did come to establish his kingdom. And his kingdom has been established. In Matthew chapter 3, John the Baptist told those who were following him, the kingdom of God is at hand. In Matthew chapter 4, Jesus came along and said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's here before us. The kingdom is here. But we understand full well that the kingdom of God has not been put on full display just yet. There are still those who are rejecting Christ as King, and there are those who are rejecting His mercy, and those who are rejecting His free gift of salvation. His kingdom has not been fully known in this world as of yet. And that's why we pray, Thy kingdom come. And God has allowed us to be involved in kingdom work, to go out to the extensive parts of the earth and preach the gospel to every creature and win people and bring them into His kingdom. This is a prayer of advancing. We are asking that God's work would go on and go further than it ever has before. Thy kingdom come. And then verse 10 says this, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. We are asking that God's will continue to be done and be made known, and God's glory be put on full display that all the world may know. This is a prayer of advancing. May I ask you something? Are you advancing in your Christian life? In your walk with the Lord, are you growing day by day? Are you advancing with God in His work that He's doing in this world? This is a prayer of advancing. It's a worthy work that we should get involved in. The amazing thing about the Christian life is you can never find the furthest reaches of it. You can never find the deepest depths of God's work. There is a perpetual more to the Christian life. And that's why the book of Hebrews says that we ought to be more earnest in our service for our Savior. And that's why we ought to abound more and more in our service to the Lord as we see His return drawing nigh. There is a perpetual more to the Christian life. The work of God is always advancing. And the question then is raised, are we advancing in the work God's doing in this world? In the life and ministry of our church, there is more that God has for us. We've been led by our pastor to step out by faith and pray for 4 miracle years. Not one of us could fully understand what all that could entail. It's a work of faith that we must do one day at a time, and we must trust God for. And we know that He is advancing, and we're simply asking, Lord, can we advance with You? Can we go with You? This is a prayer of advancing. And one final thought, and we'll close. Not only is this a prayer of acknowledgement and a prayer of authority and a prayer of advancing, but this is a prayer of affirmation. The Bible says in verse number 13, Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. That little amen is a wonderful word. It basically means this is the truth. We use it as a means by which we agree with what someone is saying. Amen. This is the truth and I agree with it. I believe it, truth and solidarity. It's a word of affirmation. And at the end of this model prayer that our Savior gives, He gives this concluding word, a word of affirmation. Amen. And I wonder today, are you in your Christian life acknowledging God for who He is? And we've seen He is our Father, and He is hallowed, and He is King, and He is Master, and He is Provider, and He is Deliverer, and He is Redeemer, and He is Worthy, and He is Almighty. Am I acknowledging for who He is? Can I say amen to that truly in my heart? Does God have His rightful place? Can I truly say amen to that in my life? Is this, am I living a life of authority where I am living under the conscious presence and authority of God in my life? Can I truly say amen to that in my life? Is God truly in His rightful place in my heart of hearts? Can I say amen to that in my heart? This is a prayer of advancing. Am I moving forward with God in my walk with Him? Am I being obedient to Him as He reveals His will to me for my life? Can I truly say amen to that in my heart of hearts? This is a prayer of affirmation. And so let me make this appeal to you, and we'll pray and we'll be on our way in just a moment. If you're here tonight and God is not being acknowledged for who He is, for who He truly is in your heart of hearts, in your private life, then let's put Him in His rightful place. Let's see Him for who He is, and let's say amen to that. If I am not consciously living under the authority that God has placed in my life, if I'm not being obedient to His will day in and day out, then let's change that. Let's say amen to that tonight. Let's affirm, Lord, You are my King. You are my Master. You are my Savior. You are my Redeemer. You are my Provider. You are Lord. Let's say amen to that tonight. If tonight you are not advancing with God in your walk with Him, if you're not being obedient to His will, if there's a specific matter in which you know you need to surrender and yield, then tonight, let's surrender and yield and say amen to that. I'm advancing with God. Wherever He leads me, I'm going to go. Whatever He's doing, I'm doing it with Him. I'm advancing with God. I'm going to say amen tonight. Tonight, I'd simply like you to examine your heart and your life. Ask the Lord to search you and know you and reveal to you what is secret even to yourself. And tonight, I would simply ask you this. Say amen to God. Affirm the work that He wants to do in and through you. And if we all as individuals will seek to affirm the work that He wants to do in and through us, imagine the impact God would make through this local church. Imagine what God still has in store for us. It's a work that we must claim by faith and accomplish by faith, but it is not going to happen unless we as individuals once again, afresh and anew, surrender ourselves to God and say, Lord, whatever you want, that's what I want. Wherever you lead us, that's where we want to go. Whatever you demand of us, that's what we're willing to give. Whatever you would call us to do, we're going to be obedient to it. We're going to say amen to whatever you call us to do. Tonight, I'd simply ask you to respond to God as He deals with your heart. Say amen to whatever God has for you this evening. Affirm what He has